This is an interview with Jacob F. Kiefer, Sr., or Jake as he is commonly known. The interview was made at Gosley Beach, Pelican Lake, on July 16, 1986, by John Jenkins. Because of his rich background in Morehead, his close involvement in many areas, his keen memory of early events and people, and because he is no longer spending significant time in Morehead, this interview will cover several aspects of Jake's life in Morehead, including, but not limited to, the American Legion, Rotary, and the Chamber of Commerce. You grew up in Morehead, Jake. That was your original, that was where you were born.
That's right. I was born in Morehead, October 26, 1897. The old Kiefer homestead at 26th Street North. The place, my father built the original home there in 1878. And my mother and my father moved in there Christmas Eve afternoon of 1878. I still have the old kitchen table that they had their first Christmas Eve supper on down in my basement of my home at 429 Fifth Street South of Morehead, which I still retain. And they lived there until they expired, both of them. And the house remained there. My sister lived there, who was never married. She lived there until about 1950. Oh, the early 50s sometime, and then she moved into the palace apartment, and then the homestead was destroyed in about 1954 to make room for the new Kiefer Chevrolet building, which Bud Kiefer and I built in the summer of 1954, moved into it in time for the announcement of the 1955 car in December of 1954.
You went to school in Morehead also.
That's right. The first, I started out the old Sharp School, or Central High School, as we called it those days, on 8th Street South for the first three grades. And then they established a zoning system of some type. Due to the fact that I lived on the north side of Center Avenue, I was assigned to the Third Ward School in Morehead. It was the location of the president, which now, or was till a few years ago, the location of the Lincoln School. It was a very old brick building, facilities outside in a separate building. Not a very pleasant place the first few years, but they modernized it about the second year I was there, so at least we had indoor plumbing and it was more of a comfortable place to stay. The old janitor there was Old Man Jewell, an old gentleman supposed to have been a very well-educated man from back east who looked after the school as a janitor and also looked after many of the downtown buildings, including the old Kiefer Building, Gladney Building, the Palace Clothing Building, various buildings on Center Avenue. And he's a very, very fine and respected old gentleman. And everybody liked Mr. Jewell very much and died along in the 30s or sometime. And so I went through school there. And before I attended school, I met my friend Melvin E. Harrell, after who the American Legion post was named after, and we were very close together. We would go to school each day, back and forth to school, with the various kids from what we call the Point would join us, and we had a good time. And as time went on, we played football. And One of our last 2 years, we had a gentleman by the name of Mr. Ralph Boothroyd, who was our superintendent, as it were, or principal, rather, of the school. And he's a very, very fine gentleman and would spend his time in the play yard with us and helped us organize football teams. And during the time, we had only one room assigned us for basketball, about a small room, maybe 25 by 30 or 40, where we had some pretty bad games played during the wintertime. It was the only place we had to play indoor sports. Our main sports, of course, were skiing and sliding down the ice hills, and which were quite dangerous. I lost two of my friends. One was a brother of Hank Peterson, Beg Peterson, who was killed up on Bunker Hill, and another boy by the name of Zeller, who was killed on the old Slaughterhouse Hill, which was on, came down off, about 3rd Street in Moorhead. Came down past the slaughterhouse, way across the river, up into Oak Grove. And he missed a turn one day, and that was the end of one Saturday. Because it was very fast. A lot of teams going up and down the hill was very icy. And we did a lot of skiing those days. A lot of camping. Before Boy Scouts came to Moorhead, we had a club that we organized called the Cinema Club. There was Eric Flayton, his cousin Halvor Rasmussen, Butts Rasmus, his brother Donald, Babe as we knew him, he was our mascot, and Billy Diemert and Tats Bear, Frank Bear, who later was an osteopath in Fargo. And we spent our Sundays, we sent Francis X. Bannerman a mini in New York, how we got the name, I suppose, out of a boys magazine where they carried surplus materials. And we got the necessary materials for camping, knapsacks, kits, and various items to carry on our camping activities. And our main place of camping and our activities was right below the Riverside Cemetery down in the grove there. Beautiful place. We spent most of our winter time down there, springtime. Fast rain come down through there, and we had a very fine time. At about 19, I would hate to say, but about 19, 9 or 10, I would say, we all met one evening up at the office of Guy Rustad and formed the first Boy Scout Club in Moorhead. And Guy was a very, very pleasant man, very nice to the kids. And we got along fine, and scouting went on from there quite a bit, a long ways. And we had a very fine time. We had some good scout groups lined up. But the thing I always remembered most was the Cinnabon Club, because that was very close to my heart, and we had a great time. And then at school, we'd come by what's now the American Legion Post. It was the old Holes Estate, Andrew Holes Estate. Beautiful place. There must have been, well, it's a park area now. Must be at least 18 or 20 acres in there. And old Andrew Holes, he was a very personal friend of Jim Hill's. And I've been with Jim Hill as a surveyor. He was also, I think, a so-called attorney as such those days, and acquired a lot of land those days from the Hill family or whatever, and a very nice old man. I remember him, but he died not a young man, he was an old man. But Mrs. old Connie Holes lived there then for many years in the old Hill or the old Holes home. And there's some pictures around Moorhead of the old Holes at home. I'm sure the Historical Society must have them, because I've seen one recently. They had a cyclone center, I remember very well. I remember going down to basement. Great girl, Eastern girl, very small person. And always made fruitcakes, and they would exchange fruitcakes, my mother and Mrs. Hill. And she's great, very fond of my sister, Katie Kiefer. And then about the old Fairmont Creamery has to be, or just back of the Fairmont Creamery to the east, used to be a great huge gully come through there from the east. And we called it a ravine. Maybe it was 50 feet across the top and about 30 feet deep, where it entertained us in the wintertime. Do some sliding down the side of the hill there, little skating down a little stream that comes through there. Springtime, of course, is marble time, and some great marble games down there. And my friend Babe Harrell, as I knew him, Melvin E. Harrell, I think had there been competitive marble shooting in those days nationally, I'm sure he'd have been one of the top leaders. Those days, there were various types of marbles. You had the Kami, which is made out of clay. The next is the Gravies, made out of granites. And then you got into the shooters, more or less, where you had the flints, and then the steelies, which were the steels, and the flints were very interesting, because if you examine very close, you'd find them at some time have a little moon on them, like a quarter moon, like a new moon. Sometimes you'd have two or three on them. And everything that happened on one of these marbles, they all had their value. If they were playing for marbles, for instance, if a man had put in a small flint by somebody else while getting the game, he maybe'd have to put in 15 commies, or maybe 20 commies. Another man would have to put in maybe 10 these grannies in there in order to get in the game. And so the games would be quite interesting. And some of these boys could stand back like maybe 10 feet, they'd plunk, and sometimes they'd lose their marbles, and they'd finally put their shooters in there. And then that was got to be rather interesting games. I remember Babe, those days were starch boxes, about 20 inches long, 14 inches wide, or maybe 14 inches high. And I remember Babe had, I think, at least 5-6 boxes, all sorted out of various types of marbles that he'd won during the summer. He had quite a collection of marbles. But that's where we entertained ourselves. We played tough football. We used to play the boys from over, we call Shantytown. Johnny Broaders, I remember, was one of the main leaders over there, a good friend of mine, nice, pretty nice boy. And they'd come over Saturday afternoons, and we'd have some pretty wicked football games and hockey games. So that's where we spent our time at the Lincoln School time. Or not Lincoln School, that time Third Ward School. Yep. We had, Ernie Melby was there, the old Melby family. And I can't remember all the rest of them. Some boys from Saban used to come in, quite a few farm people. We also, during our grade school there, we'd have a lot of newcomers. Boys and girls of age of, 16 to 22, 23 years old. We'd have full classrooms, but they would accommodate these people so they could learn to speak English. And they'd set up ordinary kitchen chairs, as they were, along the aisles. You'd maybe have 8, 10, 12 of them in our classrooms. And I remember later on in life, when I'd see these people, one or two of them had a big place. I remember in the 30s and 40s, the old Gluttony building, more, it had a pool hall and what have you. Forget his name, but he was a very nice man. He'd been one of the newcomers, sat alongside of me for a couple of winters there. But, and the kids were average, not too much fighting as it's supposed to be in those days. They all got along in pretty good shape. and we had a pretty good life. I was never a very good student. I liked to monkey around with a monkey shiner, but I always had a good time. Got along pretty well with my teachers. Yeah, had some very lovely teachers. Had Lucy Sheffield. They had a ruling in Moorhead that the girls, after they finished state teachers, I think you only had to go 2 years old to get their certificate. Gee, I remember very well, Lucy lived in a neighborhood to us there. So I knew Lucy all my lifetime, and also went to our church. And, well, she went to Alexander and taught for 1 or 2 years. I think they had to go 2 years outside. But then they come back and make application for Moorhead. And Lucy was accepted, so then she came back to Moorhead. And she was assigned to Third Ward School. I think I was about in fourth or fifth grade when Lucy showed up there. I remember very well because of the great penmanship. What do you call it? Palmer Method?
Palmer Method, right.
Palmer Method arrived about that time. Yeah. And so we were taught the push and pull method and this and that. Never helped my method by writing a damn bit, but nevertheless, that's what we were taught to do. And our instruction was about average, I suppose, little days of age. When we got up to 7th and 8th grade, then we'd have to go up to the Sharp School or Central High School to take manual training every Thursday or Friday afternoon. And ladies, manual training instructor, Mrs. King, and she was quite a girl. She used to, good instructor though, and taught us how to, used to make the user footstools and lamps and what have you, take home to the proud parents. So that's about the end of that, I think. Is that about all should be discussed? Anything you can think of?
Would you like well, that's very good. Now, why don't you go on to your high school? You graduated from high school in
1916.
I understand you're about to celebrate your 70th anniversary.
Well, we're celebrating it now, but nothing happening.
Nothing happening.
Nobody around.
Nobody around. Well, I understand there are some of the...
Lucille Smith around and Grace Loudon, mm-hmm. who's in nursing home. Have one boy up at Duluth, Regner Ekman. His father was a pastor at the Masada Swedish Church. Mm-hmm. And did I mention Anna Gluttony?
Oh.
The old Gluttony family. She's in Detroit, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And that's about all I know of.
But that's not bad. Was it a large class?
What?
How large a class was it?
I think it was 35.
35. Well, that's for that time, that's a pretty good sized class.
So there's 6-7 left.
6-7 left? That's not bad at all.
Not bad, no.
Not bad.
No. So, high school was... Do you want to continue that?
Well, go ahead.
Well, high school started in 1912. And... two things happened around Moorhead. I think the big thing, I'm quite sure it happened in 1912. And that's the year they completed the Cubsock Hotel. And there was a family by the name of Billy Hunt. I think he'd been sheriff at Fargo one time. And Mrs. Hunt, his wife, who was quite a person, later on sold Guardian Life Insurance in Fargo. One girl was a Smith girl, graduate, and was... our English instructor, I believe a junior high school. I mean junior, we were a junior in high school. She taught us English. Then she went back east to teach somewhere. And we had a very interesting principal for 4 years. Her name is Kesey Porter. She's from Nebraska girl, older girl, and a math teacher, and a very fine person. Everybody got along fine with her. She's very strict, but got along good with everybody, and no particular problems with, so our discipline. And Kesey spoke, why, that was it. And we had a good time in high school, excellent time. We had a good bunch of kids in our grade. We had a boy who particularly so was Bill Kern, who later was taught in Fargo schools for many years. And Bill Genzik later on was a doctor in Arlington, New Jersey, and a clinic there. Was a very successful man. He used to come home right along to visit when he was practicing. And Andy Kowalski, a great boy, lived over near the waterworks. And Henry Wright, one of the Wright boys. And there's a Berkowitz boy, and a Sandy boy, and a Sievert, who was a good friend of mine, never heard of him after graduation time. Roy Amel, who was a nephew, I believe, of Doc Humphrey. He came there about the junior year, I think. I don't think he's there the full time. Anyway, graduated we did. Roy is a pretty good guy, a very fine looking boy. And